This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Come and eat is what I entitled the sermon this morning. And I'm really excited from going from what the Lord was saying in the beginning of the year to me, which I shared with Elijah and Elisha. And I believe this fits very beautifully in as we're going through the story. When we were young kids, do you remember when your mother, I imagine more the mom would do this than the dad, but would shout out, "Kom eet." Do you guys remember that? We, Ryan and myself, we were brought up in Gqeberha, and we had this pool the size of an Olympic swimming pool. And it felt that way when you're that high. It was about 14 meters long, just to give a kind of a concept. So it was an abnormally big pool, especially in the early 80s. And mom would always come, and the pool was sort of down at the bottom. The house was sort of on an angle, on a hill, and then the pool would be down there. And she'd come and stand, and she'd shout out to us. And she'd say, "Lunch is ready, come and get it." Does that bring back memories to you guys? Maybe for the way you have to shout at your kids, right? "Come yet!" And it sort of gets lower and lower, and the kids don't come because they're busy doing something or other, and then you've got to kind of bring discipline for kids to eat. It's this incredible mystery that when you're a child, there's two things you don't do. You don't eat and you don't sleep. And when you become an adult, all you do is eat and sleep. That's your biggest desire. If I can eat and sleep, I'm happy. Mysteries in life. And we're speaking about the parable of the great feast. So eating is a large part of what we do in life. It's a large part of life. If you come from any traditional kind of family, you'd have some old sort of tradition, maybe a Saturday braai or a Christmas lunch. You're reminded of family and time together. As we go to the next slide, this is my lunch. It's coffee. And I have this guy in Stellenbosch. So I have, for the last 30 years, cut my hair in Stellenbosch. I'm a man of absolute habit. And for 30 years, I've been cutting my hair in Stellenbosch. And every time I go to have my hair cut, there's this guy that makes coffee, Linda. And Linda is one of my favorite people in Stellenbosch. She lives in Kayamundi. And every time he makes me a cup of coffee, he writes my name in the coffee. But as you can see, he spells it differently every time. First of all, my African name is Benny. They struggle with the R, so I'm Benny. And sometimes with the Y, and sometimes with the IE. And we always have fellowship, so I always make sure I'm early for my haircut, that I can have time with Linda, and we can chat and catch up, and I can hear what's happening in the townships, and hear the stories. And when we look at Christ, and we see he's often eating. Christ had such a good reputation, or such a good way of always doing things around meals. And we're taking a little time out and we're looking at the story in Luke. If you have your Bible here, Luke 14. And I'm going to read the parable and then I'm going to tell us what was happening in the background. But before we do that, we need to open up in prayer. Father, I thank you that we can come and sit at the feet of Jesus this morning. Our hearts this morning is to know you and to see you. We welcome you, Lord, into our place, onto our tables. And as we will all go have lunch today, Lord, and even if it's just a takeaway, we come and invite you to come and sit at our table. Come and speak, Lord, into the depths of our hearts. Holy Spirit, show us Jesus. And all Christ's saints said, Amen. Just want to say, such an honor to have Derek and Beryl here from LL. We love you guys, and just for Matthew and myself, what you've meant for us and for Ross and Machrit and a lot of us here, thank you for being here this morning. May the Lord keep you, bless you, and may your ministries just grow greater and greater. We pray the anointing of Caleb on you, that you'll just get the strength at 80 that you had when you were 40. Amen. All right, let's delve into Scripture. Hearing this, and we're going to get to what he was hearing, a man sitting at the table with Jesus explained, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. And Jesus replied to the story, a man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. Next slide. But they all began making excuses. One said, I've just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I have to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just gotten married, so I can't come. The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. After the servant had done this, he reported, there is still room for more. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and beyond the hedges and into the vineyards and up Durbanville Hill and everywhere. So the house will be full and none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet. So the scenario here is Christ has been invited to eat with one of the leaders of the Pharisees and he's having dinner. And he's observing. So what we always see Christ doing is he's always observing the culture, the norm, how people are reacting and what they're doing. And then he normally has something to say, something that is stirred in his heart to come and share. So he's observing the culture and the traditions. And Luke 14, he starts in this house and he heals someone. And now this is a big problem because it's the Sabbath. And he challenges the Pharisees. He says, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And they don't answer him. And then he heals. And then he goes and speaks and teaches about humility. See, the Pharisees had no idea what God was trying to do here, what Christ was trying to say, what Christ was about. So he started explaining by speaking about humble pie. We'll get there. We'll speak about humble pie. And it says, when Jesus noticed that all who had come to dinner were trying to sit in the seats of honor near the head of the table, we know this well, he gave them this advice. When you're invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honor. What if someone who is more distinguished than you has also been invited? The host will come and say, give this person your seat. Then you'll be embarrassed and you'll have to take the lowest seat, right? Whatever seat is left at the foot of the table. Instead, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. Then when your host sees you, he will come and say, friend, we have a better place for you. Then you will be honored in front of all the other guests. All right. Then all will be resurrected of righteousness. God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. What Christ is saying is looking at the host and he says to this host, listen, don't do what the world does. Don't invite someone because they'll just invite you back. Rather, go find yourself people that you can bless that they can't bless you back because then you're truly blessed. And then this guy replies, wow, in verse 15, wow, how amazing it must be to have a banquet in heaven. And then Christ goes, you're not getting it. You're not catching what I'm after here. And then he tells that parable, that beautiful parable. He tells a similar one which we find in Matthew. And we're not going to go into the one in Matthew because that's quite a deep one. But it's a similar parable, just a little bit differently. It says that it's a king and the king's son wants to get married. And then he says he invites all these people. And then there's the one guy that's not wearing the right clothes. You guys remember that? And then the Lord says, you're wearing the wrong clothes, you need to leave. And what I believe the Lord's saying here to us, before we get there, let's go to that next picture. If Jesus was here today and sat at our table, no, one up, how would that table look? And I love what Ross said. You can see the guys with the cell phones, they're Instagramming, they're Pinteresting on their mood board. Come and get it. Blessed. Hashtag bri. Because ours would be a bri. We would probably not have this. We'd probably just have a bri. And we'd be so busy on our phones. Back when Matty and I don't know how do you put this, when we had money or when we didn't have the child, depends how you want to say it, but when we were still a young married couple, there's this entertainer app, and then you get buy one, get one free, and we went and had a breakfast at J.C. LaRue in Stellenbosch. It's the only way we'd ever be able to afford it. And we had breakfast with our friends, in Hillsong friends. An amazing breakfast, but we were sitting watching this big table, and there was these students. This one girl was having a birthday. I don't know if it was the 21st. It looked like a typical 21st, and there was up to about 30 people on this long table, and we were absolutely amused because not at one moment for that entire breakfast that they had was there not one person on their phone. In fact, true story. At one moment, all 30 of them were on their phone. We were bewildered. And this is already about 5-6 years back. Amazed that you can be at the table, but not be at the table. And I think that was what's happening with Christ as he's at this feast. He's at the table, but the people aren't at the table. Everyone's so self-indulged, so seeking that place of honor, so seeking to be the most seen and the most hashtagging, that they were missing what the feast was about. If Jesus was here today, sitting at our table, what would he ask? What would he say? For us, we're climbing the corporate ladder, we're trying to be successful in life, we're trying to build a career, we're trying to build a family. And in all of this, so often it feels, like there's no plan anymore. No, never mind a big plan. You know, when you're 21 or you're 20 and you're studying and you're still young, God has got great plans for me. And you reach 40 and you go, I think God has plans for me. And you reach 60, I just hope there's a plan. When you reach 80, 90, I think there was a plan. I'm not sure if I lived the plan, right? So often we hear that. So often we see that. So often it feels like there's no direction. And for many of us, spiritually, we feel stuck. Right? In the mundane, day-to-day things, we start feeling a little bit stuck. What is God really doing? As we go to that next picture now. This is a painting from 1567. The famous Dutch Flemish Renaissance painter, Peter Bruegel, and this is known as the Peasant's Wedding. And he's very well known for a few of his paintings, and the other one is the Procession of Calvary. And what makes this painting so famous is, one, the three-legged man. The guy has three legs, if you look there. And two, what we notice is in most of his paintings, he often paints the peasants. And in this painting, under that curtain, you can see there's the bride, and she's got a crown on. But you'll notice there's no bridegroom. There's no bridegroom, and there's a lot of theories and a lot of conversation that's going about this painting, obviously. But this is my take. My take on this picture is that it speaks about the bride waiting for the return of Christ. And we notice it's that the humble is waiting for him. It's the peasants. It's the meek, the humble in spirit that is waiting for Christ's return. This painting for me speaks about absolute humility. So to put in this perspective, where am I after? What am I after here? I'd like us to look at Acts 10 and the story of Peter. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were near the town, Peter went up on the roof to pray. It was about noon and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open and something like a large sheet was let down in four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared. "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." The same vision was repeated three times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. So Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision mean? Just then the men sent out by Cornelius found Simon's house standing outside the gate. They asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them." I think this speaks so well to where we are as the bride of Christ. You see, we are being transformed and formed into the image of Christ. And often what happens along the road, we get stuck. And the reason we get stuck is the following: because we stop wanting to change. We stop willing because we have boundaries that will not let the Lord open up further. This is why Peter stands perplexed. You see, for Peter, this vision is a no-no. We don't go there. Traditionally, we cannot go there. It's the same in the parable. We can't come. We're busy. I bought myself a new Hilux. I've got to go try it out. I can't come to the wedding feast. Now, a wedding feast, you've got to think more like African vibes. You have to be there. The whole town comes. I don't know if you've ever been at an African wedding, but the whole town, everyone's invited. And everyone just brings food and everyone comes to celebrate. That's the wedding we're talking about. We're not talking about a Western modern wedding where you have your 80 to 120 guests, and if you quite got a little bit of money, you have 200 guests. Yay. Ouch, sorry. That was awkward. Please forgive me if you had 200 guests. The point is that Christ is speaking to Peter, and he says, Peter, I've got something that I'm busy doing. Do you want to be part of it? Can we go to verse, I think it's 28? So Peter arrives at his house, and Peter told them, you know, it is against the laws of the Jewish man to enter a Gentile's home like this or to be even associated with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came without obligation as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me. Peter was immediately able to recognize Christ after three times the same vision, same in a trance. And he could recognize that God was calling him into a new space, into a new area, and that he needed to just obey and move. So here's what I'd like to put before us as a congregation. This is a specific word for us as a congregation. As you go into the grow groups, can I ask that you go to grow? Amen? Do I need to say that again? As you join a grow group, can I ask you, go to grow. Go so that the Lord can broaden your horizon, that maybe where you are stuck, and that's why we are bringing these things, because it's areas where we find ourselves stuck, that we might grow. Culture is a beautiful thing. Tradition is a beautiful thing, but it's also very, very dangerous. If we're not open to change. And so often the Lord is speaking to us and wanting to do something, but we can't hear in that area because we're not open to hear. Imagine if Peter stayed hard of heart and said, no, Lord, no matter what, I will not. Then the word would not have gone to the Gentiles. We see that in the life of Moses. Moses has a stick and he beats the rock. What's that saying? If the only tool you have is a hammer, everything starts looking like a nail. Right, woman? Amen? To the men? Dishwasher's broken, hammer. Washing machine's broken, hammer. Roof is broken, hammer. Marriage is broken? Therapy. Okay. Let's trust and allow the Lord, unlike Israel that would do 40 years in a desert, that would get stuck in a desert just to go where God says, let's go. And a practical way for each one of us now in this next week is just to say, Lord, I'm coming to grow. I'm coming to change. I want to know you better. Can we stand this morning? What I love about the scripture in Acts is the following. It says that Peter was hungry. I know that because you're here this morning, you are hungry. That's why you come to church. For the fellowship, the great coffee, and because you hunger after God. And God's saying, I've got a meal, but it might not be what you expected. As we look at our little children who, when we give them the good things to eat, they say, no, thank you. And they want the chips, and they want the Coke, and they want the cookies. Sometimes we know that the broccoli is what we need.
Let's close our eyes.
Father, this morning we come, and as we start with this growth series and as we start with this new season, we pray for new wine in new wineskins. We pray, Lord, that we cannot put new wine in old wineskins. So help us, Lord, work through changing our wineskins and just to be open to take the next step in the journey. Tria for tria. Stoppy for stoppy. Lord, we just come and say, Lord, lead us. Our desire, as Ross was saying, is to get unstuck, is to put down the cell phones and to put down the things and the cares of the world and everything we're following, and to see you at the table, Lord. We want to get it. And as you are shouting out over us, come and get it, we desire to come and get it. Come and speak into our hearts and into our minds and into our spirits. We ask you, come. Thank you, Lord, that we can come as we are, exactly as we are. We can come. And as we walk with you, we change. Let us not stop walking with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.